You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, as we get ready to cross over into the new year, there's so many things in my heart, so many things that I'm praying about, asking God about. What is it that you want us to do? And in all that we have to do, the one thing that comes up the whole time is we'll need faith. Amen? Need faith to move mountains. We have to walk by faith because that's the only thing that pleases God. But when you look at situations and circumstances around you, sometimes certain things seem impossible. Am I talking to the right people here? Certain things that you look at it and it just seems too hard. We can be over spiritual and we can make the right confessions, but sometimes when you look at things from a natural point of view, it seems impossible. It just seems too hard. If we want to reach this generation, if we want to take South Africa for God, and that's what God wants to do. God wants to turn this nation back to Him. Amen? South Africa is on God's agenda. Doesn't matter what the newspapers are saying, what's going on. I can tell you now, this nation is on God's agenda. And He loves this nation. He loves the people in this nation. But when you look at it, you have to answer yourself, is this too hard? It's a question every Christian should ask himself. What is too hard for God? My situation, is it too hard for God? Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Listen to what Genesis 18 verse 13 says. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Let's pray. Precious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that is holy. Thank you for your word that is truth. Thank you for your word that brings light and life, oh Father. Lord, as I share your word in this day, let people hear your voice upon my voice and touch hearts, oh Father. Change hearts to believe for the impossible and to know that nothing is too hard for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Here is a man that's 99 years old, and the Lord tells him, listen here, you're going to have a son. And Sarah's laughing and thinking, how's this going to happen? My body's dead. Nothing's working the way it's supposed to work. And the word of the Lord is anything too hard for God? What is it that you're facing that you think is too difficult? Turn to the person next to you and say, nothing is too hard for God. The thing that you've been laughing at and saying it cannot be done, God says, nothing is too hard for me. I can change it around and I can do it. But what do you believe about it? The most important thing about you is what do you believe about God? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Or do you believe that with God, only a few things are possible? He said, at the appointed time, a year from now, you're going to have a child. Abram, I'm changing your name. Sarah, I'm changing your name. As you start to confess it and you declare it, a year from now, you'll see the difference. Turn to the person next to you and say, nothing's too hard. You know, God looks at a situation that we think is impossible. You think nothing's going to change. This is a rock. It's hard. I cannot break through. And God looks at it and He says, this is like a hot knife just going to cut through butter. Can I tell you something? Family, listen to me. As parents, we have a responsibility to teach our children nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. When they say it's difficult and it's hard, everything is difficult and hard in the beginning. Just think about a baby that has to start to walk. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. So don't tell them everything's hard. Tell them it's going to get easier. What will our legacy be? Will our legacy be that our children will be children of faith? Or will they be doubters? Always doubting, thinking, I wonder if God's going to do it. And a lot of that is determined by the way that we live, the things we say, the things we do. When families turn back to God, when families turn back to God, a nation can turn back to God. A nation doesn't just turn back, families turn back to God. And as parents, we have to take the responsibility to show them what is the right way to live. I said earlier on, the just shall live by faith. It takes a just man, a just woman to live by faith, not anybody. We have to do things right. Where we've compromised in our own lives, we have to show them the more excellent way. If you want to live by faith, you're going to have to do it right. It's this way, not our way. You know what we sometimes do is we say, God, I'm going in this way now, you follow me. It doesn't work like that. God says, I'm going here, you follow me. Amen? But sometimes the gospel that we are preaching is we decide what we want to do, and then we say, God, you come and back me. The difference between a God idea and a good idea. A good idea still needs God's backing. A God idea has got God's backing. Family, listen to me. Jesus died, and he rose from the dead. Because Jesus is alive, there's hope for us. Is anything too hard for him? Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. We have a responsibility to teach our children to be filled with faith. But if we're not filled with faith, if we're not praying, if we're not reading our Bible, if we're not coming to church and showing them the right way, why do you expect them to do it in the right way? You know, yesterday, we attended a wedding. Every time I marry somebody or I'm at a wedding, it tells us a story, a love story of a God that loves his bride. And there were so many beautiful things yesterday, but it was somebody from Mauritius that married somebody from South Africa. And the Mauritians were doing a dance. And it was so beautiful because you could just see all of that, the happiness and the joy in that. But then at a stage, the father of the groom came up and started dancing, and the mother and the bride and the groom started dancing as well, and the siblings joined them. And when I looked at that, I thought, that's the picture of God rejoicing over us. Us, we're his bride, the father dancing, the siblings dancing. And that's what it's all about. Are you showing your children, giving them that picture of a father in heaven that's happy about them? Or is it, ooh, God does. We have a tremendous responsibility in what we do, the way that we live, the things that we do, because it has an impact on our children, what they see. Children don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. So you cannot tell your children to go to church, but you yourself don't go to church. Cannot tell them to pray, but you yourself are not praying. Cannot tell them read the Bible, but you yourself are not reading the Bible. The Christian life that you are living, will it make it easier for the next generation or more difficult? Because what they see can make it easier for them or can it make it more difficult for them? Am I talking to the right people here? You know, my heart as a father, I want to make it easier for my children. We have to build on a legacy of faith. You know, I know I'm not just standing here preaching today because of me. I thank God for godly parents that I had, a mom and a dad. My mom is still in the church here. You know, it's a lesson in that. My dad also is gone to be with the Lord. But I mean, sat here for years, me preaching to them. It's humbling. But there's a lesson in that. You know, my dad always used to preach to me a lot. Who of you have got parents that preach to you a lot? Thank God for them. Thank God for them. But I thank God there's a time where I could preach to my dad as well. And, you know, the Bible that he had, I got it after he passed on. And I could go through it and I saw his notes. And I could see he had a deep relationship with God. And I want to tell you, children, thank God when your parents have got a deep relationship with God. My mother in grace, she's also here, in the church, as he's been a good example. I never knew Belinda's dad, but he was also a man of God. And I recently spoke to one of the elders that came from their church. And he said to me, he said, Pastor George gave me such a deep desire and love for the Word of God. And I thought, wow, what a compliment to give to a man of God that he placed a desire in the man's heart for a love of God's Word. Because this is what it's all about. Can I ask you, your children, when they look at you, have you imparted a desire and a love for the Word of God? Something to think about. Can I just say, we are here today because somebody made a sacrifice. Somebody made a sacrifice. I love this scripture, 2 Timothy 1:5. But Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. He says, you know what? Timothy, you believe so easy for big things and you think it's you, but it's not you. You had an example in your grandmother and in your mother that believed God, trust God, that walked in faith, and you could see how it should be done, and it's just easy and natural for you to do it. Am I talking to the right people here? Many of you are doing great things for God. Your faith is just a natural thing to walk in faith because you had great examples. I thank God for both my parents that I have and Pastor George, which I didn't know, but that imparted this love in people's hearts. What are we imparting in people? These women stored up mercy, not just for themselves, but for generations to come. A Timothy that did great things for God. I mean, there's how many scriptures that we quote from the book of Timothy that Paul wrote because of Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Because when you want to walk in faith, what's the thing that wants to come against you? Fear. But he says, listen, God has given you love. Amen? Maybe you say, I don't have anybody like that. Family, listen, it doesn't have to be a media generation. It could be 100 years before now, 200 years ago. Somebody in your family could be praying and asking God, bless my family. Because the generational blessing is 1,000 generations. You're walking in what you are doing. Yes, some of you have worked hard and you've studied and you've got your education, but I can tell you, somebody paid the price for you to be able to have that. It's never just you. Amen? That's the way that God operates. Everything that He's made is linked to each other. So if we're going to do great things, let's honor those that have gone before us that's paid the price. There are many people doing great things, and they think it's them. It's not them. It's previous generations. Some men think they are great businessmen. You're not a great businessman. If your wife wasn't praying for you, seeking God's face, begging to bless this business, there wouldn't be business. You think it's you that's so great. It's your wife praying. Can I have one amen at least? And vice versa. Some women think you've got it all, but it's your husband's praying, seeking God's face as well. The best is both of you coming and seeking God's face. Moses, in the battlefield, as long as Moses' arms was in the air, Joshua and them in the valley had the victory. Here's the thing I want you to see. Joshua didn't even know that Moses' arms was in the air. Am I talking to the right people here? Joshua is fighting the battle, doing his very best with the people, and God is giving them the victory. The victory they have down there is because Moses' arms are in the air. When his arms start falling down, he realizes, oh my word, when my arms go down, we don't have the victory. Lift their arms. Can I just say this? Please help us as pastors to keep our hands in the air for you. Amen. Don't pull them down. Lift them up so that we can keep our hands in the air and pray for you so that God can give you more victories. I love this. Joshua's not even aware. Victory, 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 victory. Amen. Are you keeping your arms for somebody in the air for them to have a victory? As parents, it's our responsibility to call upon God. God, generations to come, bless them, help them. Yes, you might be smart, you might be well-educated, you might be a hard worker, but I guarantee you, it's because of previous generations that's paid a price that we're not even aware of. Timothy, you are talented, you are gifted, you're a good preacher, but I want to tell you the faith that's on the inside of you, that genuine faith, you know where you saw it? Your grandmother, your mother. My daughter and my son, I expect them to do unusual things, to believe easier than what we've believed because of what they've saw in Lynn, in my mother, what they've seen in Belinda and myself. I expect it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Can you see our responsibility as parents? If faith is the only thing that pleases God, if faith is the only thing that pleases God, and it is according to Scripture, can you see the responsibility that we have? Many of you have had a good break, and it's a go-go with the arms in the air saying, just help, just help, just help. I've learned this and seen it so many times. Let me just honor one person. You know, I got saved. Many of you don't know this, but let me just say it. I got saved in Hatfield Christian Church under Pastor Ed Robert, and his teachings really changed my life. Really changed my life. And I still honor him today. I know his son. And I thank God for his life, because those first teachings touched my heart, challenged me. Many times I drove to church alone. Nobody wanted to go with me. And I said, but God, I'm going to go. No friend wanted to go. I'll go. And sat there and listened to those teachings, made sure I was in church. And today, that habit that I got as a 20-year-old, my parents always took me to church growing up. But when I got born again, going to church, I've continued with that habit. Take my children to church. Can I have an amen? Amen. Even when we're on holiday, we go to church. Can I have one amen? I know we're in the December holidays, but when you're on holiday, faith does not take a break. Amen? They won. They won so we can win. They exercise their faith so that it's easy for us to exercise our faith. Every time you make a right decision as a parent, it's not just for you, it's for generations to come. Am I talking to the right people here? We say, is anything too hard for God? Let's show children it's not hard. When you say it's hard to go to church on a Sunday, what are you teaching them? Teach them it's easy to go to church. It's where our heart is. We treasure it. That's why we go. Because I'm planting seeds of mercy. Amen? Amen. David was a man that lived to build God a house. His desire was to be in God's presence, to be in God's house. And God made a covenant with him. Because of what he did, it's impacting us today. What Abraham did is helping us today. Listen to Psalm 89, verse 1 to 3. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built upon forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn to my servant David. Oh, my word. When you do good and you make the right decisions, it has an impact on generations to come. Is anything too hard for God? Your good decisions, mommy, daddy, is helping your children's children's children. Turn to the person next to you and say, make good decisions. Say, make heavenly decisions. Every one of us has got an account in heaven. And that account in heaven is not just for now. It's for generations to come. That's what the Bible says. How do you make deposits into that account? By making good decisions. When you come to church, you're making a good decision. When you forgive, you're making a good decision. I hope you're teaching your children at home how to forgive. I hope you're teaching your children when you've made a mistake in front of them and you were wrong, that you can go to them and say, I was wrong, please forgive me. As a father, you should do that. As a mother, you should do that. Not, I'm the parent, I'm always right. No, sometimes we can make a mistake. Teach them, because otherwise they're going to have an attitude, I'm always right. Am I talking to the right people here? Teach them to have soft hearts. When I've made the mistake, I go to them and I say, I'm sorry. If we want them to believe that nothing is too hard for God, show them it's not too hard for you, Daddy, to ask for forgiveness. Amen, 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 amen. It is so. Mommy, show them it's not too hard for you to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That they can see nothing is too hard. But if they see the whole time it's hard for you to forgive, it's hard for you to do the right thing, it's hard for you to go to church, they don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. That account that's filled with mercy. So what do? I make sure that that mercy account is full. How? Simple things for me. When you come to a pre-service prayer meeting to pray, mercy account for generations to come. When you come and you serve in one of the dream teams as an usher knows this, you're greeting people, mercy account. Come to a Thursday night prayer meeting, mercy account. When you're helping the Champions Club with the children with special needs, mercy account. Vegetable garden, planting and reaching out, feeding people, mercy account. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes just go and see where is a need, and if you can meet the need, meet the need. Mercy account, not just for you, for generations to come. What have you been depositing into your mercy account? What have you been depositing into your heavenly account? We all want our earthly accounts to be full. But what about your heavenly account? Listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit because it's there to help you. Not for now only, but generations to come. It's because you are making the right decisions, nothing will be too hard. It's a better future for our children's children. Am I talking to the right people here? Can I just say this? When you as a parent are making sure that your mercy account is full for generations to come, even when those children go a little bit off course, you've got a mercy account. And when His mercy is speaking, when His favor is speaking, it changes everything. Because God's word is full of light and life. And if He promises something for generations to come, He'll do it. Go read your Bible. David did what was right. He gave it his best effort to do what is right. And God said, I'm going to honor that. Go look and see how many kings became king. Not because they were good, but because of David. It says, this one was wicked and he was evil. But because of my servant David, he became king. He became king. He became king. So our goodness, our desire to build God's house and to do what is right has an impact on generations to come, even when they don't deserve it. Say, turn to the person that you say, I want that for my family. I like this. 2 Kings 19:34. Look at this. It says, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Family, listen here. Here is a battle taking place. The king is outnumbered by tens of thousands of people. He's going to die. There's no way out. How does he get the victory? Because he's great? No. Because of what David did. Oh my God. Listen to verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. I want to be that kind of a person. Where God says, you know what? I am going to defend a city. I'm going to defend a nation and send an angel now. Because of the way that we've been seeking God, putting God first, that heaven is aware of us for generations to come. Can I have a loud amen? Amen. King Hezekiah had a victory, a tremendous victory. 185,000 just killed like this. And it's not even him. It's David. I want God to say generations from now, I'm going to give a victory. I'm going to give a breakthrough. I'm going to open a door. I'm going to heal. I'm going to deliver. Because a man and his wife decided to start a church in 2003. In their house, packed out 20 chairs and said, God, we're going to honor you and put you first. Moved to the Magister's Hall, moved to the Round Table Hall, moved into a high school. Built this building by the grace of God. And when COVID hit us within a year, we still decided to honor God and put him first and not compromise by the grace of God. And because of that, I'm doing great things in this nation. That's what we want. The blessing is greater than the curse. Iniquity is for three generations, but the blessing is for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. As the world becomes more wicked and evil, we need righteous people to stand up. And many of the victories that our children's children's children will have is dependent upon you. I'm closing with this. Saul, the man of God said to him, listen, just hit the arrows. You're going to have a victory. Saul was supposed to destroy the Amalekites. But because of his half-heartedness, it was not destroyed. And 500 years later, something that had to be dealt with by Saul is a thorn in God's people's flesh. I'm asking myself, what is there, Lord, that I'm doing half-hearted that will impact generations to come? What is there that I should deal with now to help generations to come? Am I talking to the right people here? Some of your grandchildren are going to battle with anger issues because you haven't dealt with your anger issue. Your addiction. Deal with your addiction so that your children won't deal with that addiction. If it's not for you, for your children. The problem could have been solved 500 years ago. A half-heartedness. Hitting it 3 times. He says, why didn't you just hit it more times? I'm thinking, God, how many times have we just given a 300 rand when we're supposed to give a 600 rand? Am I talking to the right people? Lord says, come and pray. Be at a pre-service prayer meeting. He says, oh, it's fine, I'll just pray in the car. Let us make a decision to help the generation to come by making right decisions. Haman was a thorn in the flesh, but Saul could have dealt with it 500 years before. Let's deal with what we have to deal with right now. Amen? Who is there that you should forgive right now? Let it go. You know, sometimes the issues that we are dealing with should have been dealt with. So let's make that decision. I think, don't give up. Continue to store up mercy in that mercy account. Not only for you, but make sure that heavenly account is full. When they say, why are you so early at church? I've got a mercy account. I'm thinking about generations to come. Why are you giving? I've got a mercy account. Why are you helping in the Champions Club? I've got a mercy account. It's generations to come, and I want to make sure that things will change. Amen? Deal with what you have to deal with. Deal with what you have to deal with, and you'll see what God will do. Is anything too hard for God? No. But let's be the parents, let's be the pastors that will help the next generation to see that it's easy. That can see there's a pastor that can say, forgive me. There's a mom that can say, forgive me. There's a person that will say, let's not just be half-hearted with the arrows, but let's do it with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with everything on the inside of us. Family, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of us. Ephesians 3:20. I love it. It's not just for now, it's for generations to come. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Is anything too hard? When we ask, we'll see that power will start to work. Let's not just say it, but let's start to live it with everything on the inside. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.